Praise the Lord. God has set this watch down. He'll probably not keep you that long, man. I'll not keep you for 3 hours. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God tonight for His mercy and for His grace. Amen. And you're glad to be in the house of God tonight. I'm glad to be in the house of God tonight and saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace in this day in which we're living. Thank the Lord. Let me just bow our heads just for a moment before we read the Word of God. Father God, we bow in Thy presence tonight. And we thank You, Lord, that You said that wherever two or three are gathered together in Your name, there You are. And Father, we thank You tonight for fellowship one with another. But Lord, especially for fellowship with Thee. And we pray, God, that the great Holy Ghost will come tonight and take of Thy word and of Thy truth and speak to our hearts tonight. I pray, God, You'll help me tonight, Lord, as I stand here to proclaim Thy truth. I pray, Lord, that the Lord Jesus will be exalted, that You will be lifted up tonight in our midst tonight. And oh God, we pray tonight, Lord, meet needs in this house tonight. Healings and bodies tonight. Every need, no matter what it will be, even unspoken prayer requests tonight, we pray, Father, You'll answer them. We pray, God, tonight You'll undertake for Thy people. Bless everyone in this house tonight, from the youngest even to the oldest, we pray. For we ask it now, Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, I'll not keep you standing long. Just if you could turn in your Bible tonight to Psalm 14. If you have a Bible, Psalm 14, if you're visiting with us, you're very welcome tonight. And it's nice to see you on such a nice evening. Praise the Lord. Amen. In Psalm 14 now, Psalm 14 says, verse 1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge to eat up my people as they eat bread and to call not upon the Lord? They were there in great fear of God. In the generation of the righteous, they have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. We know that God will add His blessing to His word tonight. You may be seated. You know, we live in a time like never any other time. We live in a day and an age in which it's popular not to believe in God. We live in a time when men want to exalt their own ideas and their own ways. We live in a day when they reject the word of God. We live in a day when they turn away from the paths that are right and walk not in the paths of righteousness. We live in a time when man thinks he has all the answers. We live in a time of prosperity. We live in a time yet there's poverty. You know, we live in a day whenever they say they're rich, but the Bible says they're miserable and poor and naked and know it not. We live in a day, it says, the Bible tells me, that there's a generation that are not washed, yet they're pure in their own eyes. There's a generation that saith, where is God? Sure, it says, all things are the same from our fathers that fell asleep. They say, oh, but sure, they said that the Lord was coming years ago, and He hasn't come yet. But I tell you, the night is close to the coming of the Lord. The Bible, James said, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Said, let your hearts be established, because there's coming a day when your faith's going to be tried. There's coming a time, there's coming an hour. You lived in and never lived in a time like this.
You never lived in an age like this age that we're living in. We're living in the same time as Noah lived in. Yes, Solomon says all that is now hath been before. There's nothing new under the sun. These things, the history has repeated itself, and history will repeat itself. But God's word is forever settled in heaven. And the Bible tells me that that word cannot return unto him void, but it will accomplish the things wherein God has sent it. It will prosper in these things. Yes. You know, in this day and this age, you hear the governments, they're talking about Brexit. You'll hear all this talk about Brexit. You'll hear all about this. But I want to tell you tonight, if no minister has told you, I'm going to tell you, Brexit is the Antichrist system. Now, some people might pick that bad, but I'm telling you, check this Bible and you'll find out that this Bible is right. This Bible speaks about Brexit. It speaks about it, but it doesn't call the word Brexit, but it talks about the kingdoms that will join up together. And those kingdoms are under the Antichrist kingdom. And those kingdoms are against the kingdom of God. And the Bible says they shall make war against the saints of the Most High. That's what they'll do. And I'll tell you today, they have this law, they have that law, they have something else. But you look at the governments that's ruling today, you have abortion. Legalized murder of infants. That's what abortion is. It's murder. Now you can put any name you like on it. And all or whatever you want. You can dress it up whatever way you like. But that's what it is. It's wrong in God's sight. It's wrong for the sight of freedom of your womb. It's wrong to do those things. You live in a day when men and women think nothing of living together and not married. You live in a day when a man wants to marry a man and when a woman wants to marry a woman. And what did the Bible say? What did Jesus say when the disciples asked him what the signs of the end time would be? He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they had their good times, they had no time for God. They thought that, what was it they said? Someone preaching one time, he said about Noah. He said, look at that old boy down there. And all those lovely young people around him building an ark, wasting their lives. How often have you heard the saying, oh, you're young. You don't need to be saved yet. Get out and enjoy yourself. That's the biggest lie. That's the biggest lie you ever heard from the devil in all your life. You know what this Bible says? This Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son has no life. He's only existing. He doesn't have life. The life that he has when he dies, that's it. He'll go down, he'll go to the pit, he'll go to hell. You know, a lot of preachers today, they're afraid to name hell. They don't want to tell you about hell. But you know, the rich man, he said he fared socially. Not because he was a rich man, but he fared socially because he had no time for the things of God. And it said the beggar Lazarus sat at his gates and he had his poor things in his life. But it said he died and the angels carried him off into Abraham's bosom. The Bible said the rich man died and went to hell. That's where he went. He didn't go to purgatory. He didn't go in between. He went to hell. He went to a place of the damned. And when he went down there, he said that he could see afar off to Abraham's bosom. But you see, it was in a spiritual realm where he was, so he could see afar off. But he could not come out of there to go to that place. Nor could the ones that were in Abraham's bosom leave where they were to go to him. And you know, he called out to Abraham. And he said to Abraham, send Lazarus, that he might dip his finger in the water, that he might dip it upon my tongue. For he says, I am in torment in this flame. Remember, the Bible says, the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. That rich man's there tonight. He's there tonight. That's where he is. Oh, people say, if we don't know that, we do know it. Because the Bible, look the things the Bible foretold. Look the things the Bible. Someone said, how do you know this God? He said, the Jewish nation was a good example of God. For all down through the years, they tried to wipe them out. Hitler tried to wipe the Jews out. Different ones. England expelled the Jews 2 times out of England. So they did all the different things. England made a pact after the war. But she backed the Arabs. She didn't back Israel. She was against Israel. England ruled. Then England, look where they said, the sun never set on her empire. It sets on her night. It sets on her empire tonight, doesn't it? You know, I once said, and I'm going to say it again, someone pulled the lion's teeth. Has no teeth now. He's just an old boy lying back in the cage. He's not fit for a whole lot. He can rise and eat his meals, but he's no longer a power. And England's no longer a power tonight because they rejected the truth of God and they turned from God. And that's why they're the way they are today, because they turned against God's people. But God delivered the Jewish nation. I don't know why you can remember, not that I can remember, the Six-Day War. And in the Six-Day War, they took the Golan Heights and they claimed that ground. And look at the world nations today wants to give them back. You know, I want to tell you something tonight. The King of the North is preparing to come. He's Russia. He's preparing to come. And let me say this to you tonight. I'll say this to you tonight. Some people wondered why Trump got elected, but Trump was elected for a purpose. God put that man in there for a purpose. And I want to say this tonight. I'm not going to explain it, but I'm going to say it. He's going to drain the swamp. I tell you, there's a lot to that. But that's what he's going to do. And let me tell you, he's like Jephthah of the Bible. And Jephthah of the Bible said, you thought the Ark King worshipped Baal, but he says, I'm going to worship him more. Gather all the prophets of Baal, and you know how he gathered them, and he destroyed them. Because he was zealous for the Lord. Now, people might not understand these things, but these world things are happening for a certain purpose. God raised up Pharaoh for a purpose, so that he might show his power and his glory, and he might deliver the children of Israel out of the land of bondage. And God delivered them out and brought them out of the land of bondage. You know, I want to say this to you tonight. There's only one nation that can slew up the kings of the north tonight. And that's America. But it will fall in doing that. And there's only one nation on earth tonight that will defeat that king of the north and them powers that come with him, that come against the land of the unwalled villages. Bible says they shall come down against the land of the unwalled villages for to take a spoil from it. There's only one nation that on the earth tonight that will be able to defeat them. And that nation's Israel. Because it's not going to be Israel that's going to fight in that war. It's going to be God that's going to fight in that war. And the Bible says that he shall go forth and fight for them as he fought for them in the days of old, as in the battle of olden times. We know that how that God delivered Israel many times. How when great armies come against them and great circumstances come against them. And how God made a way and how God delivered them. The Bible tells me, it says that you're to believe his prophets. Believe his word and believe his prophets. So shall you prosper. But you know, England's forgot those truths. She's forgot them. Look the laws they passed. Look the laws they passed. Men to marry men. You know, nature will tell you it doesn't work. If you didn't know anything about the Bible, if you never heard tell of God in all your life, and let's say you like dogs. And a lot of people like dogs for pets. Nothing wrong with having a dog for a pet. And you come up to me and you say, that's a lovely wee tired dog you have. And I say, well, I'll give you that wee dog. And then you have the wee dog and you think a lot of him. And one day you meet me again and you say, you know, I'd love to have an wee dog and maybe we could have puppies. So we could have some dogs. And I say, well, I have the right thing for you. I've got an wee dog here. But the wee dog that I give you, he's a male. And the next wee dog, he's a male. And you don't know. How long are you going to wait till you have puppies? You'll never have them. You can't have them. Because that's not the way it was. That's not the way God ordained.
No.
God ordained it that a man would marry a woman.
Yeah.
That a woman would marry a man. Not a man marry a man. You know what Paul says? I want to tell you something tonight. Don't you think these people are going to be saved? They're not going to be saved. Unless they repent and turn to God. They've got to repent and turn to God to be saved. Now they might say, this psychiatrist didn't help them, that psychiatrist didn't help them. This, I heard a man one time and he took along these 30, what would you call them, psychiatrists or whatever they were, different men. He took them along to a meeting because there's some things happening in this service and he thought they were a bit out of the ordinary. He took these guys along to see if they could diagnose what was going on. And you know, they can't diagnose it. They can't. It's an unclean spirit.
Demon.
It's a demon. It's a devil.
Demon.
That's what it is. It's an unclean spirit. Now I want to tell you something tonight. There's only one person that can deliver you from that. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's only one way you can get delivered from it, is if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. It's like any sin. Some people may say, oh, I'll do this, I'll quit that, I'll do the other. Jesus didn't. Somebody said, well, I'll come to God. That's all right. But he didn't ask you to say, well, I'll quit sin and I'll come to God. You can't quit. Because that's your nature, your fallen nature. But that nature must be regenerated. In other words, you must be born again. And to be born again, you have to come to God. The Bible says, he hath the Son half light, he hath not the Son half night light. And now John says these things that I have written unto you, that ye might know that ye have life in believing. What did Paul say to the jailer? Paul said to the jailer, when the jailer was going to kill himself, what did Paul say to him? He said, don't do yourself any harm. He says, we're all here. There's none escaped. And it says that he got a light and come into the cell to Paul. And he says to Paul, when he fell down trembling before him, and he says to Paul, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved on thy house. Simple belief. You know, somebody said, I got saved, I felt I was saved. Feelings nothing to do with. It's actually believing God's word and believing God's word alone. The same with healing. Somebody might come in the service and they might come up and they say, could you pray for me? I could pray for you, but I can't heal you. But Jesus can heal you. But you might come up and you might go down there and you might say, well, I don't feel healing. Well, you're living out of feeling. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, by his stripes, he are healed, were healed. Were healed. It's done. Salvation's paid for. The price is paid for. It's free tonight. You can come and have it tonight. It's free. It's a free gift.
Amen.
You don't have to do anything to get it. He says, come ye without money. Boy, you don't have to buy it. There's not many things free today, is there? There's always some catch or something that's free. But salvation's free.
Amen.
Jesus paid the price. And it's the gift of God. And when you come to him, he'll welcome you with open arms. Timothy says, it's a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He didn't come to call the righteous. He come to call sinners to repentance.
Amen.
You know what's right true today? It said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know, that's the truth. I remember a woman one time and she said to me, what do you think of a man that doesn't believe in God? Her son used to keep her going, you see. And all, and he kept her going. He would have said, oh, there is no God now. That's nonsense. There is no God. You know, and she sort of annoyed her. And I happened to be in the house one time. She happened to say to me, now these were educated people. Now, no education, not a very good education. You wouldn't have to be a very smart man to be as smart as I am. And I'll tell you that some of these children are a lot smarter than I would be. But let me say this. You know, I said, that's strange that you should say that, for I says, the Bible says that. And they looked at me and said, what? The Bible says it. I says, the psalmist said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They said, God will never say it, he'll not require it. We know what the Bible says. The Bible says the very hairs of your head are numbered. God knows the number of hairs in your head. He knows everything about you. He knows your name. He knows your address. He knows all about you. God knows everything about you. You know this evening, how will they escape? How are they going to escape but they neglect so great a salvation? They'll not escape. Can't escape this evening. There's only one place of safety. There was only one place of safety in Noah's day. That was the ark. There's only one safety in this day. That's in Christ.
Amen.
No safety outside of Christ tonight.
Yeah.
No salvation out of Christ, outside of Christ tonight. Way back in the 90s, they held a big do. I think some of the popes was at it. I just can't mind the name of the pope and all. And they had all these different dignitaries at it. And they had this woman there. She was preaching to them, And she said, we will now call up the spirit of the rainforest. Then she said, we'll call up the spirit of Mahatma Gandhi. Then she said, we'll call up the spirit of Jesus. That's blasphemy. That's what it is. You know, the Bible says you're not to take anything to do with them that wizards or any things like that, or necromancy, or those that speak in the night, or speak in the night, or the living is not to speak to the dead. They're forbidden in the Bible. You're not to do them. You're not to do them. She came out and she said, we will now pray to our God, Sophia. You know, whenever Abraham met God, he wasn't a woman. He was a man. You know, I remember Jehovah's Witness saying to me one day, I asked him, I said, who do you say? I says, who was Melchizedek? Well, he said, there's nobody knows who Melchizedek was. He says that Melchizedek, he says, there's no account of him in the Bible. There's no account of him. They think he was a priest that lived of their own times. Or he was a member of a priesthood. But you know, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible clearly states he had no mother and he had no father. And he had no beginning. And he had no end.
Amen.
Who was it? He was God. Amen. He couldn't be anything else. He was God. He met Abraham. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Faithful Abraham. He met him. And you know something? He preached the gospel to Abraham. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Are you glad for the gospel? I'm glad for the gospel tonight. I'm glad for the gospel that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief, he come to seek and to save that which was lost. He come to restore, to give health, to give life, to give vitality, to give new life.
Amen.
To give eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Eternal life only can be found in one place tonight. You might say, brother, is that in here? No. Is it any place else? No. It's in Christ. In Christ and Christ alone. No other way. No organization, no creed, no nothing. Christ and Christ alone. If you want to go to heaven tonight, you need to be born again.
Amen.
You know, one of the great men in the Bible, a lawyer, a smart man in the Bible, Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night. What did Jesus say when he said, art thou a leader in Israel and knowest thou not this? You know, I'm telling you tonight, you know, these things, they have passed them by, they have made light of them. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know, it says all their works, it says, the Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that did understand and seek God. You know, I don't mean to be disrespectful tonight, but I'm going to say it. Charlie said he wanted to be the representative of the faiths. The faiths. Now they'll tell you, you'll hear today, oh, there's more ways than one to God. Why, there's different ways to God. They're all, you know, a man one time, I was working on a job one time, and this fellow was in a job, he was a Christian lad, and he passed remarks to this other man, and this other man said, that's nonsense. He said, we're all worshipping the same God. He said, we're all worshipping the same God. He said, may just be going different roads from him, but it's all the same God. You know, after he went away, I never said nothing. Just listen to the conversation. I didn't get really involved in it. But he just listened to the conversation. And you know, this fella is a young man. And he was rightly, after he had this encounter with him, he seemed to be down a bit on it, and I called him over. And I said, boy, come over to the state to you a wee minute. I said, don't mind me saying to you. I said, he told you the truth. They are all worshipping the same God. And he looked at me. I said, yes, they're worshipping the God of this world, which is Satan. That's the God they're worshipping. They're worshipping Satan and they don't know it. They're worshipping Satan tonight and they don't know it. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, few to be that go therein. He said, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go therein. So there's only one route, a straight and narrow route. That leads to life.
Amen.
That's the only road there is. There's not two roads. There's no other way. You know when Revelation said, he said, no, it's not the Laodicean church age. We believe this is the Laodicean church age. We believe we're living in the Laodicean church age. This is the age that's naked. This is the age that's blind. This is the age in which the Lord himself counseled them to come on the buy of him gold tried in the fire. Come and buy of me gold tried in the fire. Tried in the furnace 7 times. Pure gold. And he says that you may anoint your eyes with eye salve, that thou mightest see. You know, a man went up one time to the great man of God. This man went up to him and he said to him, if you're a man of God, he says, I want you to do something and I'll believe you. He says, I want you to strike me. Smite me blind, he says. And if you can smite me blind, I'll believe you. He said, I couldn't smite you blind. He says, why not? He says, you're already blind. You know, that's the way it is with some of these people. Now listen, Jesus Christ died to save them. He died for these people. But some of these people don't want anything to do with it. Just like I quoted you earlier on, there's a generation. They're pure in their own eyes, but they're not washed. No, the Bible also says in Proverbs, says as him that's rich and he has nothing. Says as him that's poor, yet he's rich. You know, tonight, in your treasures, if you've Christ in your life, you're rich tonight. If you've Christ as your Savior tonight, yes. Boy, I tell you, there's something to be said for. There's something to be said for the mercy and the grace of God. You know the two great things, the Bible, mercy and grace. You know when Jesus rose from the dead, mercy and grace kissed each other.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Up from their grave he arose, the singer says, the writer says, up from the grave he rose with a mighty triumph for his foes. Hallelujah. He rose from the dark domain. You needn't fear death because he went through death. He went down into hell. And he laid captivity captive. Satan couldn't hold him. All the powers that were down there couldn't hold him. He rose from the grave. He arose. Hallelujah. And he's seated tonight at the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
And he ever liveth to make intercession for us tonight. Hallelujah. He's in the presence tonight. In that presence of his Father tonight. He's there tonight making intercession. Praying for you. Praying for me. Says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Let us look, it says here in this psalm in verse 3, it says, they're all gone altogether, they're become filthy. There is none that doth good, no, not one. They have all the workers of iniquity, no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not on the Lord. You know, the time of the foot and mouth disease here. You know, I think it was Ian Paisley while he was alive. He said, have a day of prayer, call for a day of prayer. You know, the government in the Houses of Parliament said they didn't need a day of prayer. You see the far back they're at. See where they're at. They didn't need a day of prayer. Well, there's coming a day when they're going to call on the mountains and the rocks and the dams to hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. What will they do then? What will they do to them? You know, I tell you, it's a fearful thing, it says, to fall into the hands of God. It says they're the workers of iniquity. They know to do right, they do wrong. They sit down and they have a conversation and then they decide what laws will pass. And they don't look where they're at today. They're the way of the day because they've done everything they could against Israel. You know, God said, what did God say to Abraham? He said, them that bless you, I'll bless them. Them that curse you, I'll curse them. That's what he said. He said, are they Christian? You know, a story was told. I don't know if you ever heard of that. Maybe you did. Story was told of, what was it, that was assassinated, President Kennedy. Story was told that it was his father, was ambassador, and he was in Germany before the war, second war started. And a rabbi approached him. And he said to him, he knew the plight that the Jews were, he knew what was going to happen to the Jews in Germany. And they approached him and he said, can you do anything for me? You know, he sort of jokingly turned around and said to him, he said, you may go to hell. And the rabbi looked at him. And the rabbi said, you have cursed me and God will curse you. Look at Bethel, the Kennedy family. You know, I want to tell you something tonight. You know, the Bible says that history is stranger than fiction. You know, Kennedy was advised not to go to Dallas. You know what they called his advisor? They called his advisor was a woman. She was called Lincoln. And she advised Kennedy not to go to Dallas. But Kennedy went on ahead till Dallas. He was assassinated in Dallas. The man that assassinated him, they were supposed to catch him in a theater. I don't know. But they were supposed to catch him in a theater. The man that succeeded Kennedy was a man called Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson succeeded Kennedy. Now, I read this in an article before Kennedy was assassinated. And this man was writing. And he said, if history repeats itself, probably the president that is in office now, which was Kennedy then, he says, will die in office or be assassinated. That's if history repeated itself. Now, Abraham Lincoln, his advisor was called Kennedy. And they advised him not to go to the theater where the play was going to be. So he waited till the play had got started and all, and he slipped in. And he was assassinated in that theater. And the man that succeeded him was called Johnson. It succeeded Abraham Lincoln. So history repeated itself. But you know something tonight? Truth is stranger than fiction. Truth is stranger than fiction. You say, what has it got to do with this? The whole act is to show you that God's working the plan. Somebody said, Brother John was saying this morning, but some man said, the Lord will not come yet. That's nonsense. We don't know when he's going to come. He could come anytime. Amen. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says we're to live our lives like he was going to come tomorrow. We're to live in such a way as if he was going to come tomorrow that we'd be ready to meet him. We're to live our lives that way. We know that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. All these things we see all these nations awaiting. You hear all this business of nuclear weapons. You see all the world stuff that's gathering together today. You see these terrorist acts and countries where they're doing all this, where they're killing. There's hardly a place today that's on the earth that there's not war and fighting and killing going. What did Jesus say to the disciples? He says, wars, rumors of wars, are determined unto the end time. Whenever they looked at the temple in them times, he said to them, do you see this temple? That was the temple in Jerusalem. He says, not one stone will be left upon another that will not be pulled down. You know, maybe they thought that temple would never be pulled down. But there was the Creator of the heavens and the earth, standing with them, telling them, and they didn't recognize it. Didn't really realize what was been told to them. You know, the disciples didn't really realize till after the resurrection. There's a lot of things that their eyes were upholding till, that they didn't know till after the resurrection. Just like the two men that walked on the road to Emmaus. They met Jesus, they talked with him. Sure, they had lived with him before, but they didn't recognize him. Near he made they would go farther, they said, no, stay as far as can, spend the night with us. But when he raked the bread, they didn't say anything, but they recognized it was the Lord. He's risen from the dead. He's in control tonight. Amen. He's in control of all the world affairs tonight. You know, the Bible says, God, there's a time for everything. There's a time for every purpose under the heaven, and God has a time set in which he's going to come. Now, it doesn't say that man knows that time. It says that no man, not even the angels, only my Father in heaven, knows that time that he's going to come. But he's going to come. I believe tonight that we're not far off that. Now, it might happen in my lifetime, it might not. It might happen in your lifetime, it might not. But it's going to happen. It's going to take place. Jesus is going to come again. He's going to come. You know what the Bible tells me here? It says that that day when he does come, his feet is going to stand upon the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives is going to cleave in two. And he's going to fight for the Jews as he does in his Lord. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says their flesh shall consume away while they stand. Their eyes shall melt in their sockets. Their flesh will consume. The blood will flow the depth of a horse's bridle for over 200 miles. I tell you tonight, it's going to be some time. The coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It says when we are ready. It says, you know, if the good man had known what hour the thief would have come, said he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. But you know, it says, they all slumbered and slept. And then the cry went forth at the midnight hour. I believe we're at the midnight. I believe the cry's going forth. You know, we read this today, you know, it says here, and let's go back to the psalm. It says in Psalm 4, it says, all the workers of iniquity, no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not on the Lord. Reject the Lord and you're lost. Turn down the offer of salvation, you'll never be in heaven. Jesus died for you. You reject that, you can't go. Jesus said, but where I am, you cannot come. That's what he said. He said to Peter and them, and he said to the disciples, he said to them, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. You have to be changed. You have to have a change, a body change. And that body change, if you're a born again Christian, that body change will come in the resurrection. And he'll change you. You'll have a body like unto his glorious body. And you know, it says here, it says, you know, the judgment, it says, then listen to what he says. It says, they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. You know, what does it say in the Bible? It says, they eat and they wipe their mouth and they say, we haven't done anything wrong. You ever hear that? We haven't done anything wrong. I worked with a man one time. He said to me, how did you get saved? And I started to tell him how the Lord saved me. How the Lord brought me under conviction. He said, that's wonderful. He said, that's great, you got saved. And I said, how did it happen with you? I thought he was a Christian. He said, I never was lost. He said, I always went to church. Always done that which was right. You know, that's not right. There's nothing wrong with going to church. There's nothing wrong with doing good. Not one thing wrong with it. The Bible doesn't condemn it. The Bible says, all have sinned. Not some. All of sin. We're all born into sin. We're all shaped in iniquity. You never had to learn to tell a lie. I never had to learn to tell. I was able to tell them. All right. But I didn't have to learn. That was the nature. Fallen nature. Fallen man. You know, it takes a nature change. You know, the psychiatrist can't give you a nature change. Medical science can't give you a nature change. They might work on some of these people. Certain things that change them certain ways. But in God's book it's recorded. You know what Job said? He said, my substance was known to him when he coiled it in the lower parts of the earth. Man said to me one day, where did God come from? He said, why, where did God come from? He said, there's a man asked me that the other day. He says, not some question. Oh, I said, that's not a hard question. I said to him, go you back to that man and ask him where he come from. And then I says, he'll not be able to tell you. But if he can tell you, I says, then we'll tell him where God come from. Says, all my members were written in thy book. Now listen, all my members were written in thy book from the foundation of the world. All my members were written in thy book. Thou knew my substance, he says, when you curdled them like milk and cheese, while they were yet in the lower parts of the earth. Where did God make Adam from? The dust of the earth. And what did he do with him? He breathed into him the breath of life. And the Bible says he became a living soul. God breathed into him the breath of life. No end, no beginning. God always was. He didn't come from anywhere. He always was. He always was God. But you know the great thing that he done? When he put man in the garden and the serpent beguiled the woman, or Satan beguiled the woman, and the serpent, when he done what he done, and God put them from the Garden of Eden, and death, they inherited death, death came on them when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Said, the day you eat that fruit, you shall surely die. Satan said, you'll not die. Oh, you'll be all right. You'll get in. But no, that's a lie. You couldn't get in. Because Satan infiltrated the human race in the Garden of Eden. That's what he done. And because of that, death came. Now listen very carefully. Who was Adam? Adam was the Son of God. And if you go back into the genealogy in Matthew and you trace back Jesus Christ, now I don't mean he was the Son that died on the cross. No, I'm not talking about that. But he was the Son of God, Adam. And if you trace that back, that genealogy back, it'll go back right back to Adam. It says, who was the Son of God? God made him. God breathed into him the breath of life. You know, when he made him and put him in the garden, I don't know how long he'd been in the garden, but there he was in the garden. And then he took for him, he took out of him a rib. And he made him the woman, and he brought the woman unto him. And he said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Saith a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. That's what the Bible says. There it was, Satan come, when Satan come in and deceived them. And all, they couldn't come back. For when God come down in the cool of the day, commune with man in the garden, what did man do? He hid himself. And he hid himself because he was ashamed. And why was he ashamed? Because he was naked. He was naked. So God clothed him. He made skins for him and he clothed him. Man was naked. So the link between God and man was broken because of sin. I know I'm not going to start to explain it tonight, but I'm going to tell you, in case you never heard it before, I'm going to tell you what the sin was in the garden. The sin was adultery. Now, it will take a wee bit of time to explain. I don't have time tonight to explain it. Just gone 7 o'clock now, and I said I wouldn't keep you too long. But let me say that sin came into the garden. Now, if Adam hadn't took his wife, she would have perished and he would have lived forever. But Adam, being what he was a type of Christ. And he was willing to die for her. And you know, Jesus Christ come what? Made of a woman. And what did he come? He was man. God became man. What for? To redeem man. So that he could come back. So there had to be the shedding of blood. If there was no shed blood, there's no salvation. If you've no blood, you've no gospel. If there's no blood, there's no gospel. But Jesus come, and what did he do? He died on the cross. Amen. Somebody said his blood was spilled. No, it wasn't. It was shed. He freely laid down his life. He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to pick it up again. And that's exactly what he done. He took it up again so that you could have life, so that you could have healing, so that you could have a well-being. And you know, God made a way back when there was no way. It was separated. That way was separated. And then you get all the different ways that Satan wants to pervert the day. You take young people today. Drugs. I remember when we were young fellas, we used to go to the pictures in Palm Bridge. We used to go and watch the gangster films. We thought they were desperate. Boys machine gun and all that. Doing all the different things. And all we thought that was desperate. You know, we thought that was an awful thing. Said by, isn't it great to live in a country where there's none of that? It did go on in America. Gangs, they did kill all. But then look what took place here. Look what happened in this country. Look how people killed one another in this country. You know, I remember going up the road with a man, and we was parking a digger. He was driving a digger, and I took him up to the farmhouse, and I said, you'll be able to park at this farmhouse. And we went up past the wee schoolhouse. There was the first day I'd ever met him. Didn't know him, knew nothing about him. Just befriended him and was talking to him. And he said, I says, come on up the road with me hereby. And bring that up. We had shutters and all for the machines. We were on bulldozers and we had shutters on them. But he took the digger up. I says, drive up and ask the farmer. I'm sure he'll let you park in the yard. And we passed this wee schoolhouse anyway. It was all grew up with nettles and thorns up near on to the tops of the windows. Wee small place. And all, and I says, it's powerful too. I says, I wonder how many people went to school there. I says, you know, maybe some people come out of there, maybe, for all of you, maybe become doctors or become something or become nurses or have some well learned only in a wee small place. And I says to them then, look at that wee school, the way it's grew up today. I says, whenever I was a younger man, I remember you couldn't have got into them wee schools on a Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. It was always gospel meetings. But I said, look the way it is today. You know what he said to me? He said, my grandfather used to preach in wee halls like that. I said, what about you? He says, I know what's right, but I've never done nothing about it. I said, tell him, well, you know, you can come. There's a way made for you to come. There's a way made tonight. You know, there's judgment coming. Judgment on them. It says, they ate of his bread. Says, they have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is, it says, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that's nonsense, boy. Who tell you that? I've heard it all. I've seen a lot of it. And you know, they're quick to condemn somebody, you know, and say, did you hear that old fool shouting amen and hallelujah? Did you hear him? He shouted amen, hallelujah. You know, I heard of a man one time, and he said to this man by, he said, that old fool was shouting praise the Lord, and this fellow would have went to the odd football match, and he was standing at the football match, and the man was in front of him, and he never seen him, and he was hollering, come on, come on, come on for the team, come on, come on, come on. And the boy reached for us and tapped him on the shoulder. When he looked at him, he was speechless. Nothing wrong with the football, not saying that. But the thing is, it doesn't seem foolish for to do that, but if you say praise the Lord, oh, you know, they think that's a desperate thing. But you know, it's a good thing. He says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Let me finish. I'm going to have to come to close. Let me read this last verse here. Oh, that salvation of Israel will come out of Zion, when the Lord shall bring back the captivity of his people, Jacob, and Israel shall be glad. Amen. Oh, that salvation will come out of Zion. You know, if you have a Bible, if you can remember this, the night, I'm not going to go on. I'm not good at this a wee bit. But let me say this. Go over and read Zechariah chapter 14. And you'll read about the Lord coming to star on the Mount of Olives. Oh, that salvation was come out of Zion. Oh, that salvation, you know, God's going to deal with all these nations that comes against Israel. You know, Russia's going to come against Israel. The king of the north is going to come down against the land of the unwalled villages. That's what the Bible says. That's what the prophecy says. And they're going to come down for to take a spoil whenever they're at peace. It says the unwalled, no armies. When they'll stand their arm, there'll come a time of peace under the Antichrist system. And they'll stand down the armies. And they'll say, well, now there'll be no war, but not. But there'll be no war. It's only in the millennium reign that they beat their swords into plowshares and their pruning hooks, their spears into pruning hooks. It's only in the millennium reign that they do that. Before that, they still go to war. But God's going to fight for Israel. God's going to deliver Israel. You know, the Bible says we're to pray for Israel. We're to pray for Israel. You know, the Bible says, you know, some people said, the Jews crucified the Lord. No, the Romans crucified him. But the Jews, they wanted him crucified. They didn't actually do the act. Rome done that. The Romans crucified him. They said, let his blood be upon our heads and upon the heads of our children. You look at the suffering the Jews have had. Look at the countries that turned against the Jews, what has befell them. Look at those countries that have turned away. Look at the Britain today. Look at the laws she has. Look at the way she is. She doesn't know why she's coming or going. And they're talking about coming out of the common market. They never should have been in it. They never should have went into the commons. shouldn't have been in it, but they never asked the people to go in. They told the people, well, we'll try it, and if it doesn't work out, we'll come out. But you know, they went in 1957. I remember them going in. I remember when they changed the money to what they call the decimal system. When they took away your 12 pennies and a shilling and they give you 10 pence, the price of everything doubled. And you know, they got that there, and you see, the only good thing that never happened in Britain, they never got the euro. The euro is the Antichrist's money. Oh, I'm telling you, that's exactly what it is. That's his money. You know your metric measurement? That's his measurements. I said, bro, what? I said that one time to an engineer. He said, why, that's nonsense. No, I said, I'm not smart enough just to count it out to you, but I said, I'll tell you, you get the right man and he'll count it for you and he'll find out that's right. Because, you know why? It runs out. It's not through measurement after a certain length. You could go around the world as many times as you like in feet and inches, it and never run out. Because it's original. Do you know something tonight? I want to tell you something tonight. Do you know that there's only one true colour? You know what a colour is? It's white. That's what it is. What's the sense of red in? White. Spotless. White. Whenever the disciples went up to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, didn't his garments glow when he was transfigured? Didn't he see Moses and Elijah talking with him? And they said, let us make three statues, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Father, the cloud overshadowed him. What did the voice say? It said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well. Please, hear ye him. Hear ye him. There's only one way tonight, one road tonight, and that's Christ. The Lord's salvation was come out of Zion when he brings back the captivity of Jacob. You know, Israel's going to be gathered into their own company. They're going to sit down under their own vine. They're going to be their own ruler. And all nations that are left on the earth will have to go up once a year to Jerusalem. And if they do not go up once a year, God will send them no rain, no wind, no sunshine, no nothing. So their crops won't grow. And all nations will go up once a year. And God gives Russia a burying ground in the valley of Himengog. And only 1/6 of the Russian nation and the powers that come against Israel, only 1/6 of them will be left. The rest will be buried in Russia, or the rest will be buried in that valley of Himengog, a place that God, you know, God told the end from the beginning. He told the end from the beginning. What did Jesus say to them when he was going up to be crucified? He says, this is the stone. He says, this is the stone. Have you never read? This is the stone that the builder rejected. He says, whosoever falleth on this stone shall be broken. But whosoever the stone falleth on, it shall grind into powder. What did Daniel say? He beheld a stone that was hewn out of the mountain or out of the rock without hands. And what did that stone do? It smote the image, not on the head, on the feet. And it says that that image became as the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And it said that that stone became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. What did it say? The Bible says, they'll say, let us go up to Israel, to the mountain or the house of the Lord. That day is coming. It mightn't be far away. But the main thing tonight is to know that you're right with the Lord and prepared for to meet God tonight. You know, our time's gone. Our time's just gone. Here, I'm just going 10 past 7. I'm not going to keep you any longer. Thank you for listening. You have listened well. May the Lord bless you. Just let's bow our heads just for a moment or two. You know, tonight, if you're not saved, you can be saved. If you need a touch in your body, you can have a touch in your body. You know, tonight, I feel like doing this now. I'm not going to ask anybody to come to the front. I'm not going to ask anybody for the do anything or lift up your hand or maybe anything like that. You know, sometimes I would ask you to lift your hand, but I'm not going to do it. But if you need a touch in your body tonight, or if you need something tonight, or if you want God for to meet some need for you tonight, just while our heads are bowed and just while our eyes are closed, will you in your heart If you want salvation tonight, will you in your heart ask the Lord to have mercy on you tonight? He says, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Will you ask the Lord tonight for whatever your need is? Might be salvation. Might be healing in your body. It might be some other thing. It might be some dear one you're praying for. I don't know what it is tonight. Don't even want to know. But I want to assure you tonight that God will hear you and God will answer prayer. Father God, tonight as we bow in this house tonight, O Lord, we believe we have told the truth of thy word tonight. Maybe not just, but Lord, you know what I mean tonight, Lord. Maybe some people mightn't agree with it all. But oh Father, to the best of my ability, I believe I've told this people the truth tonight. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost will come and you'll confirm that word. Like we heard this morning, Lord, you confirmed your word when Paul preached your word. It was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we pray tonight in the name of Jesus that thou will confirm thy word, that thou will bless thy people. Lord Jesus, bless every head bowed tonight. Oh God, you know the need of that dear person. Bless that dear lady tonight. Bless that dear man tonight. Bless that dear boy and that girl tonight. Father, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. We commit ourselves to thee. Lord, we're looking to thee, Lord, to meet the needs. Lord, thou knowest the need of every heart tonight. Thou knowest all these things. Lord, you see the day and hour we live in. Father, if there's one that knows enough, oh God, give them deciding grace tonight that they can come just as they are. Lord, you didn't ask them to do anything. You said, just as I am and without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Lord, I come to thee. Father, help us tonight in the precious name of Jesus. Oh God, in Jesus' name tonight. Lord, you would say to thy people tonight, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer tonight. Be still and know that I am God. Lord, we're glad tonight to know that you are God indeed. You're the one who saves. You're the one who heals. You're the one who makes the needs tonight. Bless thy people tonight, Father. For we ask it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. There's a lot of stuff in this. If you can mind, if you want to go over in your own time at home and just go over, it's good reading, go over to Zechariah 14th chapter. And you can read these things about the coming of the Lord and so forth. It take a lot of time to go into it, you know. If you keep people sitting too long, there's only a certain amount people can take in at a time. If you sit too long, you get tired sitting. I don't want to have you tired sitting, but may God bless you tonight. Amen. May the Lord only pick you tonight. You know something. God knows everything. But not just one thing, he knows everything. You know, God does some perfect things. God has done some great things in this day and this age in which we live. And he's going to do them again. You know why? Because the Bible says he never changes. Hebrews says he's the same yesterday, today and forever. Amen. May God bless you richly. Amen. Amen.